Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
That is caught! Touchdown! Oh, my gosh! How did that happen? He got it from 59 yards away for the win!
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars This Week, final Wednesday of the month of May, and still no resolution in sight. Lockout week 11. And Logs, I think we probably all assumed when it began, we'd get at least this far. The question is, how much further does it go? And there's more comments out there from both sides of the aisle that we need to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's comments about it, and the other thing that we need to talk about is timelines. And I'm not talking about timelines of what the legal proceedings have you know, occurred so far.
I think people know those, right?
But timelines as far as, you know, when this thing has to be resolved for the season to get off at the scheduled date. And I think right now we're getting to the point, and once you get into June, it's got to happen fast, or there's going to be games lost, whether it be in the preseason or the regular schedule is going to get pushed back.
All right, well, let me lay it out, and you interrupt where it needs to be cleared up. But obviously next Thursday is the hearing before the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a matter of weeks. It could be two, it could be three, but we assume that sometime the last 2 weeks of June we'll have a ruling one way or the other, okay?
But here let me add this to that. If you have a ruling from the Eighth, could you have an appeal after that?
Yes.
And so, I mean,
theoretically, you could go all the way to Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, does it really matter?
No.
You know, I think the one thing that it does matter, though, is that if you get a ruling, hopefully the losing party will say, that's enough. You know, let's get back to what's going to solve this ultimately, and that's the negotiations. Well, I think that it's going to – I think smarter heads have to prevail at that point just because – the window is starting to close and close fast, and you really don't have time to wait for appeals before the fan interest wanes even further, before you get to the point where you're going to lose a significant portion of the season or part of the season or maybe all of the season. I mean, who knows?
And we're not even talking about the quality of football here. I think I mentioned to you that I was at the J Fund this week and saw Tom Coughlin, and I said to him, where's the line where football suffers? He said, you mean the quality? And I said, the quality. He said, we're not there yet. We can still get it done.
Yeah.
He said, but we are so quickly approaching that line, I'm not sure anybody understands it.
Yeah, and I think as long as you can have a normal length preseason, you're fine. I really believe that.
But that's got to happen fast. Let's finish with the timeline that we were talking about, okay? Because keep in mind, folks, they're talking about a two-week training camp, at least 2 weeks to get your team in here and get to shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about needing a three-week window for free agency because you've got 700 free agents out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the players...
I mean, for example, when you say there's 700 free agents out there, well, the Jaguars roster is not even close to being at 80.
No.
It's like 50-something, maybe 60 or whatever.
You still got to negotiate with the rookies.
Yeah, they've got a lot of roster spots to fill.
So you've got 3 weeks to get ready and 2 weeks to get physically ready. So if you back
that up.
Yeah,
and see, to me, I really believe that you really need 3 and 3.
Okay.
I mean, to me, to expect players to show up and then be ready to play a real game in 2 weeks,
right?
No way.
All right. Well, if that's the case and you want to start opening day, September the 11th, and we've both seen where the league wants that and can understand why,
mm-hmm.
You must have a deal in place before July is out in order for that six-week window to work.
Yes.
Now, in order for that deal to happen, how do you get there? That's the question. How do you get to a deal? Because if the owners win, and most people, and Joe, jump in because you've been following this too at any point that you think it makes sense, but most people believe that the owners stand a greater chance of winning in the Eighth Circuit than the players do because of the leanings of that court. It's more business
friendly. Well,
because
the stay's still in place, and because of their when they said that the lockout is legal, they shared a lot of opinions, which typically they would not. And their opinions were very strong from the two judges that said that, you know, it gave a very strong hint as to the direction of their ruling would go.
Could be totally wrong here. Go ahead.
When you're saying 2 weeks to get ready for football.
I'm talking a training camp.
You're talking to get ready to have preseason games or to get ready to play football?
No, I'm talking regular season.
Then you're right with July. I was kind of thinking the first week of July.
I think we're at the cusp of the preseason going out the door.
Yeah, I think that once you get to the middle of June, then every week that it goes past, you know, the middle of June. So, in other words, let's say by June 15th, that there's no deal in place.
Right.
And then you go to June 22nd. To me, you got to take a preseason game away.
Right.
You go to the 29th, you take a second preseason game away. I mean, that's, I think, what we're looking at.
Did you see the commissioner's comments earlier today? And what he said was that they're going to have to start talking about that, because earlier this week the league announced that they were eliminating this year's rookie symposium at the end of June. That's where the draft class from each team goes to either Southern California or Southern Florida, and they do a couple of days about life, about money, about school, about women, about
all of that stuff. You know, having the rookies miss that, no big deal. I mean, for years they didn't even have a rookie symposium. It was part of each team's rookie training during the season.
But it was the first thing they've canceled.
Yes.
And so what he was saying was, now we've got to start talking, because August 7th is the very first preseason game. It's the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. And you've got Chicago and St. Louis, I think, that are playing in that game. So they would go to camp, you know, the 3rd week of July.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're talking about, in order to get the preseason started, you've got to have the Bears and the Rams in camp by, say, July 23rd.
24th, 23rd, 24th.
Now back 6 weeks up from that.
Yeah.
You're talking about getting a deal done before
the window
seems to be open.
And that's to have the complete preseason and regular season.
Exactly. So I think the chances of a complete preseason are rapidly diminishing.
Big time.
And I don't know if people have thought about that. Now, the average fan out there, and please don't everybody call and say, oh, no, I love the preseason. But to the average fan, I'm not sure that the preseason, they see that preseason as a significant loss to them.
Well, and it would be a significant loss because, boy, I mean, that's the time in which you can really train and evaluate your younger players, giving them a better chance of making the roster. In response to that, Roger Goodell has had conversations, I believe yesterday, that he would consider expanding the rosters from 53 to 56 and bump the game day from 47 to 50. Would that help? Yeah, it would help. But the other thing also would help is expanding the practice squad. I mean, I think that both of those are going to, if you have some type of shortening, that both of those things probably will happen.
I just don't, because folks, I mean, a week from tonight is June 1st.
Yeah.
In order to get the Bears and the Rams on the field for the start of the preseason effectively, I mean, in my scenario, right, my 5-week scenario, which is not enough for your liking, you have got to be done, signed, sealed, and delivered by June 15th, which pretty much is the date that people are hoping to hear from the Eighth Circuit on whether the lockout stays in place or whether it has to be lifted.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that first game is almost all but gone.
Yeah, it's going to be close. I mean, you're talking the Hall of Fame game.
The Hall of Fame game. I'm not talking about the entire preseason at this point, but if you get to the 1st of August, the preseason's gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's starting to get to the critical point. And you hope that the timeline, what we're talking about here, is really kind of embraced by both sides of the bargaining table. And I don't know, when are they supposed to get back to negotiating?
They start on
sometime
the
16th, first week of June, I think, is what they're talking about.
And that's the court-ordered mediation.
That means that, I mean, there's for something to go off without a hitch this year, when they start, and I don't know why June 6th is stuck in my head, but if they're going to get it started on time, something has to happen that week.
Did you read a couple of weeks ago, and I was not here last week, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this, did you ever read Chris Collinsworth's comments to Peter King in his Monday Morning Quarterback column?
I remember he said something about
November.
Yeah.
He took a very dark approach to it, very pessimistic approach.
Yeah, he's kind of a pessimistic guy anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's Chris.
And what he was saying was, essentially, that the players are going to hold strong because they have antitrust lawsuits out there. And by the way, if the owners, and this is throwing a wrench in it, I don't want to confuse it, but if the owners were to lose that hearing, okay, and the court ordered them to begin the calendar year immediately, meaning at whatever date, the 15th, the 20th, the 1st of July, whatever it is, Then they have a tricky question because they got to decide what rules they're going to operate under in the absence of a ratified collective bargaining. Do they employ new rules? Do they employ the old rules? And if it's the old rules, think about this. You've got 700 free agents. There are going to be a lot of guys who have hit 4 years, and under the old rules before 10.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, you were a free agent at that point, and in year five, you could go and hit a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go to the 10 rules, that means those guys aren't eligible for it.
That's right.
And then you're going to have a flood of lawsuits coming in, antitrust lawsuits, that will just muck the whole process up.
Well, you talk about the lawsuits there when it comes to the years of free agency, but think about some of the players. For example, the left tackle for the New York Jets, when that lockout was lifted for that short amount of time, he was there to show up for his workout because a lot of these players have significant workout bonuses.
Right.
Will lawsuits follow because players didn't have a chance to fulfill the off-season workout bonuses, et cetera? I mean, there's a lot of this stuff I don't know the answer to, but I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, could that spring a whole new slew of lawsuits?
I know you follow this, too. I don't see any resolution coming before Memorial Day, which means that it's coming after Memorial Day, and that is dangerous territory to get everything off
Well, didn't
on time.
Colts owner and Irsay say July 3rd?
Was his date. Well, and Bob Kraft was out last week saying that he knew that they were alienating fans, and you've got players saying the same thing, and today the commissioner essentially said that. You've got franchises. The Bills today announced that they were withholding pension payments and 401k payments for coaches. They'd already
all staff.
Yeah, well, they had already said that for the staff, but the coaches now. And, of course, Larry Kennan, who's the head of the assistant coaches organization, you know, came out actively against that. So, I mean, you've got a lot of moving parts here. I mean, besides the Dolphins and the Lions and then the Raiders did their thing. And who of all teams, the Raiders come out with this proactive approach to go sell tickets.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
I liked it.
Not a bad idea.
And the commissioner, of course, said the same thing, too. So, all right, so it's it feels like the National Labor Relations Board this week show, but it is where we are.
Yeah,
we
got some other things to get into.
Some rule changes.
Rule changes that happened, and then also want to remind people of the teal deals that were announced last week right here on the show. We had Mackie and talking about
Carl Cannon.
Carl as well, talking about $3,000 worth of gift certificates from Brian. If you should see this list.
Here this week. I want to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things on there. Yeah,
you missed a good one last week.
Get your money back for
Carl Cannon was here and Tilka was on.
Robert Tilka.
Oh my goodness. Who let him in here? I thought we had a rule against that.
Did a great job. Did a great job. Good deals, man. And then they got the 30 days of teal coming up too, which is like a drawing every day for 30 days.
Good stuff too.
For season ticket holders and great prizes.
You know, you have got to give them credit. Mackie and that group over there are so active in trying to keep people engaged in what is as difficult a time as we've seen in pro football history.
Well, it's a difficult time in pro football, but it's also a difficult time for many in the economy. And, folks, I'm going to tell you that there's not a team in the National Football League that works harder at getting you more value for their tickets than this football team right here.
All right. Well, we'll go through all of that when Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, returns with Jeff Loggam and Joe Fortunato and me, Brian Sexton. On News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week continues towards the bottom of the hour where we break for news, and then we steam towards 7 o'clock on this program. You weren't kidding.
I told you. That teal deal thing that they've got going on is no joke.
Let's do that first. I was just looking at the list. You know, free pizza from Al's Pizza, free month at Bailey's Gym, $50 gift certificate at Beach Road Chicken Dinner, $15 pizza at Brucci's. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Free golf.
$50 at Beach Road Chicken has to be like a family of seven. Seriously.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the list is pretty amazing. I mean, you can get season tickets for as low as $600-something.
Salt Life Food Shack.
Yeah, you're going to get, you know, you're going to get these coupons valued at $3,000 when you get your season tickets. And then you're going to get entered into the 30 Days of Teal in June.
Now, that is cool.
That primo stuff in that list now.
Let me go through it real quick. You know, a couple things stand out. They start on June 1st, and they roll to June 30th, and they've got a drawing every day. And it starts with pregame sideline
and
passes for
any
two.
Any season ticket holder. All season ticket holders
from
are
the
eligible.
Highest seat to the closest to the field.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, just a couple of these really, you know, are cool. So they've got a play Madden 2012 on the Everbank Field video board, which I'm sure would
be sweet
to a lot of people. A three-night stay at Hawks K Resort. I mean, just you get free parking pass, $200 gate gas card, autographed item signed by a player of your choice, trip for two to a Jaguars road game, game-worn jersey presentation, $500 Winn-Dixie gift card, two tickets to the Super Bowl in Indy, and, of course, our favorite is the 18th of June, where you join us in the radio booth. So
for a game.
For a game, yeah. So that'll be fun as well. Lots of great stuff. Folks, I mean,
nobody does more.
Nobody. It's not even close.
And so you got Teal Deals, you got 30 Days of June, and then, of course, you got the reward, Jaguars Rewards and Jaguars Advantage. I mean, four programs that benefit season ticket holders. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, and they really need to get something going so that they can take all that momentum from a year ago and reignite it. Because there's nothing right now. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback they drafted. They should be selling tickets left and right. And yet they've had him in town for all of one day.
One day.
And they,
yeah,
you know,
what a shame.
They can't make contact with him.
You know, and boy, I mean, this time of year, you know, you typically be out on the field watching the OTAs, you know, a couple days a week. And nothing. You know, the only news that's really been coming out is rule changes, and we'll talk about that after the break. But, I mean, it's...
You know what I've heard a lot of? I've heard a lot of this the last 2 weeks, really. You know, there are people that grumbled when Wayne didn't make a coaching change at the end of last season. And they grumbled about the quarterback. And now those look like the most logical, sound decisions that an owner could make. Because there are plenty of franchises out there with new coaches, and they don't have contact with their team, and their system may go in August.
Think about the teams that are just, I mean, begging for any kind of OTA,
Tennessee.
Full
Let's
training
use Tennessee
camp.
As
I mean,
example.
Tennessee is a perfect example. They don't even have a quarterback.
No.
I mean, Kerry Collins and
Jake Locker.
Jake Locker, I mean, and Kerry Collins obviously is.
Rusty Smith.
I mean, Rusty Smith from, you know, Rusto's fame.
Over here.
Holy cow.
Look, you can't. Even before the Jaguars,
Denver Broncos.
Wayne's a successful businessman. You can't be a successful businessman without some sort of forward thinking.
Well, and I've had more
job.
I've had more people who were highly critical of the decision who today will say, no, that was sage on his part. He made the right call, and Wayne sat there and took all the slings and arrows and rocks thrown at him, and yet today his coach and his staff know that when they finally arrive, they've got a veteran nucleus that knows what they do.
You had mentioned the Tennessee Titans. At least they have a terminology that will probably be in place from last year.
Because of Mike Munchak.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a little bit of carryover, but I mean, look at Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
New coach, new quarterback.
Denver. You know, John Fox coming in. He's got to figure out who his quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, holy cow. I mean, there's some teams that are just going to – if you think that – a new team could get ready to play. You were talking about 2 weeks. No way.
Yeah.
I mean, no way.
Yeah, it'll be ugly in some places.
Oh.
There'll be no way around it.
No.
None.
I mean, those teams need 4 weeks. Almost, really. They need a full preseason to be able to step on that field and not look like a bunch of unprepared, you know, ragtag group of football players.
Well, and if you're just joining us, folks, as we head to news here at the bottom of the hour, the chances of a full preseason are very, very rapidly slipping away, and the commissioner alluded to that earlier today. We'll talk about that a little bit more, talk about the rules changes when we come back after the news here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it. All right, here we go. Second half hour of Jaguars This Week. Live from Everbank Field, I'm Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman. Joe Fortunato is here. Phone number 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, I'm going to read you a tweet from James Harrison, right? Steelers All-World NFL Defensive Player of the Year linebacker fined more than $100,000 last year by the commissioner. Quote, "I'm absolutely sure now after this last rule change that the people making the rules at the NFL are idiots," end quote. Obviously, he's not a fan.
No, he's not a fan, and I think that what he's kind of getting a little hot on the collar about is that there was three significant rule changes, and then there was a fourth that they're going to, I guess you could say, consider And the fourth proposition is that if you have a team with multiple infractions, for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers had, what was it, last year, to where you had a lot of hits that were ruled illegal, that if you reach a certain threshold, which they haven't defined what it is because this is all just something that they're talking about now, that if you reach a certain threshold, then the team could actually start to be penalized, much in the way that off-the-field conduct has been kind of teams have been penalized for having their players out of line. To me, I think that's ridiculous that a team could lose draft picks for having a certain number of rules violations during a season. I mean, to me, that makes absolutely no sense. If that's the case, if that's the step that you have to take, then you're not doing a good enough job in the enforcement of the actual penalty by taking the player out of the game and taking enough money out of the player's pocket. Now, so that's the fourth one. There are many other ones that three that they talked about.
How about I read them and then you comment on them?
Yeah, right ahead.
Okay, here we go. Defenders will no longer be penalized for collateral grazing of quarterbacks' helmets. In other words, if you remember the Colts game against the Eagles late last year, Trent Cole barely touched Peyton Manning's helmet on third and about 15. And, of course,
in the way the rules were written before, that was a penalty. And what they're going to do now is to let the officials have a judgment call, which is the smart thing to do, which should have been the rule to begin with. You can't say that, you know, if anybody touches a quarterback's helmet, then that's a penalty. To me, that's just asinine.
Well, because
for lack of a better term.
What was the game? Was it San Diego where, I want to say, Terrence Knighton put his hand up and just touched the face mask? No, it was a game
penalty.
That was here. It was 15-yard penalty, bang, right? Mm-hmm. And we started looking for that. I mean, the minute you see a hand go near the quarterback's head, you're like, oh, this play's coming back.
I thought that was the Dallas game. Was it the Dallas game?
It may have been. For some reason, I thought it was a game here. I thought it was against the Cleveland Browns here, and it was Knighton against Colt McCoy. It was.
Yeah.
It was here.
Gotcha.
So
those are going to be gone.
That's a good change. Okay, here's another one. A 15-yard penalty will be enforced on anyone who leaves both his feet before contact to spring forward and upward into an opponent, delivering a blow to the helmet of his opponent with any part of his own helmet.
And that is basically launching.
Right.
Reggie Nelson a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That Vic Ketchman was very upset about, but according to this rule, the hit that Reggie had here in Everbank Field, that was legal because Reggie did not hit with his helmet. He hit with his shoulder.
Right.
So the key here is that leaving both feet and then making contact with any portion of a helmet. And to me, I like that rule. I think that a lot of rules need to go to intent. A lot of rules, to me, shouldn't be penalized, but should go to the intent. If a player is launching and has dropped his head and is looking to be a missile and hit a wide receiver, that happens. If a defender leaves his feet and is contesting a ball that's being caught to contest the catch, and his helmet happens to make contact after the ball arrives, to me that doesn't work for me. I mean, to me that can't be a penalty because the defender was trying to make a play on the ball.
It seems like they're going down the road, and it's the players who are going down this road with intent, because what they want in the negotiations for a new contract,
expanded season,
and well, but the other thing they want is they want a third-party mediation for some of these penalties, not just drugs and substance, but they want the ability to go to an independent arbiter and have him look at intent.
Yeah, and I think that intent has to be a big part of having a third party. To me, a third party makes sense.
Are you talking instantly? Or
they're going to get fined, right? They're going to get a $90,000 fine, which is the fine that was given by the league to James Harrison for the hit on the receiver, the kid out of Georgia. So now what he wants to be able to do is be able to go to a magistrate or a mediator and
whoever.
Say, hey, look, it's football. You can see that I went up, right? They're going to stop video.
He ducked.
Yeah, come on.
Contact was made to
but
the head
this
area.
Is within a few days, not during
well,
the game.
It, you know, well, it might if, be some
well,
Tuesday,
if,
three.
If it involves a suspension, absolutely it's got to be heard within a day or two.
Right. You know, or a fine of any substance at
if
all.
If it's a fine, then, you know, time frame can obviously
so,
be
so does that mean you can launch yourself at a player, you just can't use your helmet?
That's correct.
And his helmet. So you could dive after someone.
Forward.
That's still okay.
The key words in this are forward and upward.
Forward, upward.
And helmet.
Delivering a blow to the helmet of the opponent with any part of his own helmet.
So a defensive lineman can comes around the side, can actually dive into the quarterback and hit him with his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But he cannot launch and
with
make contact, which doesn't matter. You can't hit the quarterback in the helmet anyway.
Right, right.
But, I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, receivers going across the middle.
That's really what they're looking at.
Safeties laying in wait and
linebackers
shots.
On, you know, crossing receivers, that kind of thing. Well,
but, I mean, you know, here's the other thing. Okay, if it's forward and upward, but his feet are only an inch off the ground, is that launching?
Oh, then, yeah.
See, now that's the problem that you get into.
Now you're,
You know what I mean? I mean, how are you going to say, okay, well, this is launching, this is not. He was just trying to explode. To me, it's got to go back to intent. And if it's not that, then to me, that's a problem.
How about take their helmets off altogether?
No.
Not the game at all. Hey, here's a third one. The definition of a defenseless player was expanded to, and I'm quoting it now, those players throwing a pass, attempting or completing a catch without having time to ward off or avoid contact, a runner whose forward progress has been stopped by a tackler, kickoff or punt returners while the ball is in the air, kickers or punters during a kick or a return, a quarterback during a change of possession, a player who receives a blindside block from a blocker moving toward his own end zone.
That's the Hines Ward section right there.
Yeah.
Remember when he broke the jaw of the, Cleveland?
Yeah, it was Cleveland. It's always against Cleveland for those guys.
Or no, Cincinnati.
Yeah, you're right. It was
Cincinnati. The Cincinnati linebacker he just got hammered by Hines Ward, broke his jaw. No longer can you do that. I remember I got a letter from the league way back when I did the same thing to Warren Moon. And he throws an interception. And back in the day, you remember.
That was what you did.
I mean, interception, I mean, there was probably five or six guys that were looking up the quarterback to get a free shot on the quarterback when he would try to pursue to make a tackle on a turnover. Yeah.
Didn't Brunell get waffled like that once?
Yeah, by Gerard Warren.
Gerard Warren,
the former Florida kid that was in 2002. Was Tony Baselli's? He didn't play that day. I remember that.
So no more of that. And to me, I'm okay with expanding the role.
It was 2001. Sorry, it was 2001.
Okay. I'm okay with, for example, the Hines Ward thing. You know, making that illegal because all you have to do is kind of get in their way. I'm okay with that because that's not necessarily a requirement part of the game. But any rule that kind of prohibits or makes a player think before he can try to do his job, to me, makes it difficult.
What about the quarterback thing?
The first rule change?
Well, only in the sense that a quarterback during a change of possession, if he'll get out of the way,
yeah, I'm okay
like
with
Peyton
that.
Manning
you
does.
Can still block him.
Yeah,
you just can't hammer him.
Right.
You know, you can't hammer him in the head and neck area,
which is what Gerard Warren did that
That's
day.
That's right.
Brunell.
I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of rules that I don't like. To me, it still all goes back to the intent. Like, hey, if you're blocking the quarterback and you don't lower your head, but the quarterback happens to, at the last second, duck his head, you know, trying to avoid contact with you, and you are trying to go lower, but he ducks his head and the helmet contact is made, it's if you read it by the rule, you know, defenseless player, helmet to helmet, that would be a violation. But the intent of somebody that was trying to block a quarterback who tries to go low and the quarterback drops his head.
Yeah.
That's not factored in.
No. Hey, I don't see anything here on the Calvin Johnson rule. You remember the opener, the Lions and the Bears, and we obviously had the issue here in the ball game against Houston here.
Haven't changed it. They've kept it the same.
Okay. Just curious. I mean, you know how those plays take on a life of their own. Everyone knows it is the Calvin Johnson
rule. Carrying the ball all the way through to the ground.
Right.
You know, which Calvin Johnson, I thought, did have possession and just kind of tossed the ball up, you know, ready to celebrate.
Yeah.
And, you know, they haven't addressed that. The only thing they said is that the interpretation needs to be talked about more, but they haven't said that that will change.
All right. We're due for a break. We'll take it now. Come back another segment of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, welcome back. A little more than 7 minutes left in our program this evening, and we've just been kicking right along.
Yeah, and some of the rules changes. Obviously, Atlanta Falcons president Rich McKay is part of the competition committee. He's the co-chair. Had this quote when it comes to some of the rules, and he said, quote, "This should permanently change the mentality of a defensive player trying to loosen the ball to change your target point. There were too many hits in the last 3 years that were legal, but were not ones we were comfortable that the player who got hit had any chance to protect himself."
All right, interpret that, because I'm not sure that makes sense to the average fan. You're talking about a hit, you know, they were trying to hit at the chest and drive the ball free because they knock him to the ground so hard? Or,
well, I mean, to me, I mean, that was always the exciting kind of part of football. Yeah. I mean, the contact, the violence, the physicality of the game, I guess you could say. I mean, I'm all for trying to protect players. Boy, there's a lot of ways that I think that they could go about it differently than expanding the defensive player rule. To me, a common sense approach when it comes to intent. They made the rule change about the wedge. And when they changed the wedge rule, they said, okay, you can't have a four-man wedge, but you can have two-man wedges. Well, if you're really trying to be concerned about player safety, why not just eliminate the wedge altogether?
And for the average person who's just listening, the wedge is when four guys get together at a point in a return, lock arms, and run.
And become a road grader. I mean, you remember Dave Thomas? It was up in
Cincinnati. 96.
Snap, bang, there goes his leg.
Sounded like a 2x4.
On a wedge.
Yeah. How about Michael Cheever in Pittsburgh in 97? He got dead roached.
Yeah, he was dead roached and stiff-armed, had a major concussion on the field at Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And I believe it was from the defensive lineman who at that point.
Orpheus Roy,
who at that time was just a role special teams player. He wasn't even a starter at that point.
And he was probably the best wedge guy in the league.
He crushed Michael Cheever, and Michael Cheever had snot bubbles, and it wasn't a pretty sight. But, I mean, to me, just eliminate the wedge altogether. Having two-man wedges, because here's the funny part. Before you could have four guys hand-in-hand. Well, now you can have two guys hand-in-hand over here, and then if they're 3-4 yards apart, you could have another two guys hand-in-hand. So you're telling me that separating four guys into two groups of two are going to make that big of a difference?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Not really.
I mean, just eliminate it altogether.
All right.
And then you don't have that problem. Then changing the kickoff point, is it really going to make that big of a difference?
You tell me.
No. No, just eliminate the wedges altogether. And if you wanted to really change the rules, so to speak, is to not allow a running start. The kickoff coverage team, or move the blockers farther up so that they have closer contact where they're not 40 yards apart and they're all generating speed and bang, then they're colliding.
See, I always thought moving that kick up closer was more dangerous. Because if you have a kicker that knows what he's doing,
he's going to hang time.
Can't he kick it higher to give you guys more chance to get down there and kill somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to start teaching now.
By the way,
coaches are going to adapt and adjust to the rule changes. They're going to go for hang time instead of a touchback. What are the touchback now? Where the ball's coming out to what?
They stayed at the 20.
Stayed at the 20.
They were going to put it on a 25.
Yeah, but they stayed at the 20.
But, I mean, if you can get it inside the 20 with a hang time kick,
and kickers can do that.
Absolutely.
Off the tee.
I mean, when you talk to a kicker, and I remember when I was in New York, the kicker that we had up there was Pat Leahy. And Pat Leahy, great guy. Kicked for the Jets for a long time.
He was my mom's cousin.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis
guy. St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah. And he was my neighbor, too. Great guy. But he used to talk about when he kicked the ball, he always kind of compared kicking to golf. And that, if he had a 45-yard kick, he was going to break out the 3-wood. If it was an extra point, it was, a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
And so he hit the ball. He struck the ball at different points to get the ball, whether it be vertical, high, no block, chance at all. So the kickers, what they're going to do is they're moved up now. They're going to go down a club and go for more hang time and try to put it just inside the end zone so the player's going to still decide to come out but give your coverage team plenty of time to get down there. If I were Russ Purnell, Jaguar special teams coach, That's what I'm coaching. Yeah. Josh Gobe's working on his hang time kicks
right
now.
They're all pro kickers. They can do it.
Sure they can.
You know, about an hour ago, hour and a half ago, before we started the show, defensive line coach Joe Cullen was sitting over in Ryan Robinson's office, and I happened in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about when. You know, when the players report, when things get started, how you get it done. Here's the thing. You normally don't see coaches sitting in offices on this side of the hallway. It just occasionally in the off season, but at, you know, 5:30, you just don't see it. What are they doing right now? Haven't they done almost all they can do? And remember, they normally go on vacation in the month of July.
Yeah, I think a lot of the coaching staffs are right now considering moving that vacation time up to now, to June.
Get it out of the way.
Because they know that if they don't take it in June,
they won't get it.
They're not going to get it. I mean, there's not going to be that time off in July. And I think all NFL teams right now, the league should say, hey, look, if your coaches are going to get vacation time, have them take it now and let them roll.
Yeah. Well, I think Tom Coughlin was saying at the J Fund on Sunday night that he had given his guys off through Memorial Day, just impromptu, might as well do it because we don't know what's coming.
Yeah, and by the way, Joe Cullen's got a free camp coming up.
I saw that in the paper this morning.
Looking forward to that, and I'll be there.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's at Atlantic Coast High, the new
Atlantic
high school?
Atlantic Coast High School, June. Can you pull that up, Joe?
You think he can avoid yelling at these kids like he yells at his guys?
Who, Joe?
Wow, he's such an intense guy on the field.
He's great.
He's a great coach.
Joe, I mean, I've always believed that a coach is a coach, whether he is in pro football, high school football, college football, Little League, a coach is a coach.
I watched Todd Monken coach a basketball team that practiced at the same time as my sons did last winter, and you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
He just adapts his delivery style. But Joe Cullen is one of the most intense coaches I have ever watched.
He's a lot of fun to watch during training camp. Every coach has a trait, but I mean Joe Cullen just loves to coach, and I love watching him because you can always tell if some coaches just love what they do, and Joe loves what he does. I mean, he was born to be a coach. I mean, there are some people that are born to do certain things. Joe was born to coach.
If you go to Jaguars.com, you'll find the story, and all the details are there. If you've got a son that's a football player, especially if he's a lineman.
You got the
Joe? You're going to want him there.
Well,
they go to Jaguars.com. The story's up.
Yeah. June 13th, 14th, Atlantic Coast High School.
Where they get information besides
Jaguars.com, find out more, right?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Enjoy it.
Joe, have a great night, everybody. Talk to you next week.